Morning. Well, I'm sad that Pastor is sick, but I'm glad I get to preach, amen. So. We used to go to a church in Webster, and me and the associate pastor, we used to feel guilty because we always look forward to when the pastor would go on vacation or something, because we get to preach, you know. But so we had, our heart was right, but you still felt funny, you know. But anyways, this morning, if you would, open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 2. Right after Deuteronomy 1, amen. All right. So over here in Deuteronomy chapter 2, this, of course, is the children of Israel on their way to the promised land. And so we're going to read verse number 1 to 7, and then we'll go back and look at some of the things the Lord has for us there. So chapter 2, Deuteronomy, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me, and we can pass Mount Seir many days." And anybody that's been around the Bible long enough knows that many days was 40 years, amen. So it's many days. "And the Lord spake unto me, saying," in verse number 3, "ye have compassed this mountain long enough, turn you northward, and command now the people, saying, ye are to pass through the coasts of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. Take ye good heed unto yourselves, therefore. Meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land, no, not so much as a footbreadth, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession." Verse 6, the Bible says, "Ye shall buy meat of them for money, that ye may eat, and ye shall also buy water of them for money, that ye may drink. For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing." Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do just come before you now, thanking and praising you again that we can gather together. We thank you for the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. The best way we could start the week off, Lord, is in church and with you and with one another in your word. And so we do just pray now, God, that you'd bless the preaching of your word this morning. Pray that you would just be pleased to meet with us this morning, and just pray that the Holy Ghost would have liberty this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And so anyways, the message that I have here, of course, this is a literal history of the Jewish people that took place, but the Bible tells us all scripture is written by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for us, amen. There's always a lot of the Old Testament stories is a spiritual lesson for the Christian, amen, for the New Testament saint. And so there's two things after a person gets saved that we could call dangers for Christians, amen. That one thing is for someone to get saved and they just move too fast, amen. They rush ahead of the Lord and they jump in and they're not ready. They don't know enough, whatever the case may be. And many times you see them burn out, amen. We've seen people come into church and they're on fire and they've been saved 2 weeks and they're ready to preach and they're ready to chase the pastor out and to take the church over. And next thing you know, a month later, they're a mess. They're not in church. They needed to slow their roll, amen, as the saying goes. But the other bigger thing that can happen to many of us Christians, amen, is that we don't grow, amen. We don't move forward or make forward. You know, we take care of all the things. You know, if I ask you to raise your hands, there's probably nobody in here drinking whiskey or smoking weed or doing cocaine and things like that. And so you become a Christian and you're like, all right, well, I'm all set now, you know. But that's not it, amen. All through this whole journey, just like these children of Israel trying to journey to that promised land, our journey from the day of salvation is to be conformed to the image of Christ, to become more Christ-like as we go, amen. Waiting for that day we go to be with the Lord, or that day that the rapture happens. And so it's important for us to not allow ourselves to stop growing, amen. And it's a similar theme to what Pastor had preached last week, and this is what the Lord had given me. And so in these passages here, we see the rebuke that the Lord gives them, and he says it's been long enough, amen. And so many times what happens in the Christian life, it's just some of those little things, amen. Like it says over in the Song of Solomon, it warns us about the little foxes, amen, that eat the grapes, that steal the fruit. And for us, it's those little things. A lot of times it's resentments and holding grudges and things. It's not blatant gross sin that we would think about, amen. I remember reading in one of the books that I read in the past about a church that just had two old guys in the church that nobody even knew it. And these two guys had an unforgiveness and a grudge towards one another. They kept going to the same church. They never settled it. And then all of a sudden one day they came together and they reconciled, and revival broke out in the church after that. Amen. It was just sometimes those little things. Amen. Unforgiveness, being unthankful. Amen. Complaining. You know, in the Old Testament, God used to kill people for complaining. That's rough, amen. I mean, we'd probably have a pretty thin crowd, amen. I probably wouldn't be here either, amen. I mean, God didn't like complaining, amen. Indeed, did my dad. My dad, he'd say, you better stop whining, or I'll give you something to whine about, amen. And so we test the theory a couple times, and he did, amen. And so, but in the Old Testament, God, just some little, these children of Israel, I mean, they're murmuring, complaining, because when you're complaining, you're complaining about what kind of life God's given you, amen. And so sometimes we get in that negative state of mind where you're complaining and being unthankful and things like that, amen. And you can go over there in Galatians and the whole list of things, anger, wrath, malice, you know, envy, pride, all those things, amen, that can stunt our growth, amen, and stop us. And like these children of Israel, just keep us circling around that same mountain, amen. And we never begin to make progress. And so as a child of God, whatever that may be, amen, you fill in the blank. But if there's an area of our life that we have between us and God, and sometimes you get under conviction about something, and you know you need to deal with it, and then you just kind of hold your ground for a little while, then the conviction kind of subsides, you know, and you never deal with it. And then maybe a month later or 6 months or a year, it pops up again. Amen. Maybe when you're reading something or you hear preaching or whatever the case may be, and then it pops up again, but we just deal with it. Amen. And so we keep ourselves from making progress. Amen. And from growing spiritually. Maybe it's something that you should do that you're not. Amen. I know many times people would come up and they'd be like, I feel like God wants me to do this, and I've kind of been holding off. If there's something God wants you to do in the church or for the church or for the ministry or something, don't hold back and don't resist, because you could talk yourself out of it, amen. Jeremiah said, whoa, I'm too young, amen. And God said, don't worry about it. Moses said he was slow of tongue, he stuttered or whatever. God said, don't worry about it. And so, but we'll make excuses, amen, to not do things that we know we should. And then on the other hand, it might be something you're doing that you shouldn't, amen. So whatever the case may be, the Bible says over in James chapter 4, amen, and we all know it, him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin, amen. And so, again, that can stunt our growth as Christians, amen. And so we don't move forward, amen. And I we got some babies in the church. If you had, I know if my grandson Noah stopped growing or wasn't thriving, as they say, we'd be like, something's wrong, amen. But yet there's many of us Christians that have not really grown much since praying the prayer and getting saved, and that's it, you know. But God has other plans for us, amen. God wants us to be conformed to the image of his son, wants us to be more Christ-like. What did Christ do? Amen. If we had to put it in a nutshell, Christ was selfless. Everything Christ did, he did for the sake of others. Amen. Nothing was for his own benefit. Nothing was for his enjoyment. Everything Christ did was for the benefit of others. Amen. And as Christians, that's we're supposed to put others first. Amen. Joy is what? Jesus, others, then yourself. Amen. And so as Christians, to become more Christ-like, amen, we need to try to find those character flaws or those things that can hold us back from serving God, amen. And so that first rebuke is in verse number 3, amen. You have compassed this mountain long enough, turn ye northward, amen. And then that's the admonition, amen. The promised land is forward, amen. And the good thing for the Christian is we're supposed to always be moving forward, making progress, be in motion, amen. As a Christian, the Bible tells us, walk with God. If you're walking, you're moving, amen. You're in motion, amen. And he's telling them to turn northward, amen. And so for the Christian, it's supposed to always be a forward push, amen. I always, you know, I know I'm going to go to the grave always feeling like I wish I was a better husband. I wish I was a better father. I wish I was a better Christian. But while I'm alive, I can always keep trying, amen. It's when you stop trying and you're just like, hey, this is me and this is the way it is, and you know, that you miss out on having God's blessings for you, amen. And we're going to look at some of the blessings that God did. But here he tells them, amen, he admonishes them to turn northward, amen. The promised land is forward. It's abundant life, amen. Reaching with our sights set on the things above, amen, as Christians, amen. The good thing is, we're supposed to move forward or move northward in this life, move forward, becoming more Christ-like. But the good thing is also when we die, amen, you're going north, amen. You're going north, you're going up, amen. You're going up. I love the verses of the Bible. And that's what's so good about the Bible, amen, is that it tells us things that are going to happen. One of the things that's a blessing to me that makes me not be afraid of dying is the fact that the Bible tells me that for the Christian, dying is like falling asleep. Amen. Falling asleep does not hurt. Falling asleep, you don't even know it happens. You're asleep, amen. For the Christian, you fall asleep. The Bible tells us in Luke that angels will escort us up into the throne room of God. Elijah, this is one of my theories. I can't say it's true, but I like to think it might be because it would be cool, amen. In the Old Testament, Moses represents the Old Testament and the law, and Elijah, who didn't die, amen. We all know Elijah was alive, and a chariot of fire took him up, amen, and he represents the Christian. So for me, I'll fall asleep, amen. Angels, maybe in a chariot, amen, will escort me up through the sky, through space, through the galaxy, the universe, up through the sides of the north, amen. And it talks about in the Song of Solomon, amen, about the banqueting hall of the great king. Paul talks about over in Ephesians saying that I got a seat reserved up there waiting for me, amen. So I'm going to make that trip, amen. I'm going to go up into that great banqueting hall of God, amen, with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God over all the gods, amen. I'm going to have a seat. I'm going to take my seat, amen. Someday I'm going to break past this light, amen. I'm going to take my seat, amen. There's others that went on there before me. We're going to wait for others that are going to come, amen. I mean, that's what I got in store for me, amen. That's why I'm not worried about it, amen. But the thing I need to do is continue to make progress here, amen, of course. And so stop wandering around that issue that I've never dealt with, or wandering around that mountain, so to speak, as the children of Israel is, amen. Hebrews 12 tells us, lay aside every weight, amen, in the sin which so doth easily beset us, amen. And so we lay aside that weight, amen, whatever's holding us back, whatever's holding us and keeping us from becoming the Christian God wants us to be, amen. Or maybe the parents or the father or the husband or whatever God wants us to be, amen. We got to lay aside that weight, amen, that holds us back. In Philippians, the Apostle Paul said, this one thing I do, amen. If he doesn't do anything else, this one thing I do, I press on, amen. He pushes on and pushes through. And none of us, amen, have been through the trials and tribulations that the Apostle Paul went through, amen. I mean, you go over there in Corinthians and read the list. If you were thinking of getting into the ministry and you read that list that Paul put, what happened to him, you would be like, I think I'm going to be a fireman or something, amen. I think I might get into the IT industry or something, amen. But that'd be, so the Apostle Paul, but he said this one thing, amen, that I do, I press on, amen. And that's where the Christian has to have that attitude of they're never going to give up. They're always going to press on, amen. No matter what befalls us, we're going to try to work through it. We're trying to straighten it out, and we're going to keep trying to go on, amen, in this Christian journey, amen. And so, again, the Lord rebukes them, saying you've struggled with this thing long enough, amen. You're not making any progress. He tells them, turn northward, amen. Make that intelligent decision that you're going to deal with this thing so you can go forward, amen. And then in verse 4 and 5, he tells them that you're going to go through the land of Esau and don't meddle with it, amen. And again, that typifies the Christian. We're in this world, but we're not supposed to be so defiled by it, amen, or so caught up in this world as Christians, amen. Our affections on things above, amen, our feelings, our passions. I mean, it's important, yes, that we all have decent jobs and homes and the things we need, amen, but to not be so obsessed with the things of this world that it overthrows or subdues our Christian growth, amen. And so he tells them there in verse number 4 and 5, he says, and command you the people, saying, you got to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. Take ye good heed unto yourselves. Therefore, in verse 5, he says, meddle not with them, amen, for I will not give you of their land, amen. No, not so much as a foot breath, because I have given Mount Seir unto them. And so for the child of God, the Bible tells us what? In Romans, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, amen, by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is the good, the acceptable, perfect will of God for you. Amen. And so we're not supposed to meddle with the world to the point that it keeps us from growing as a Christian. Amen. We're in this world. We work with folks that aren't Christians, but we don't have to let it defile us. Amen. We don't have to let them influence us. If anything, let us try to be a light, as our theme is for this year. Amen. That there's something different about you. Amen. And so we're supposed to pass through. Amen. We're saved. We're a new creature. Amen. And things should be different. Amen. And the thing for us is we have the Word of God. Amen. The written will of God. The written Word of God. So there's some things that you don't even have to pray about, because it's written in black and white, and it tells us it's the will of God for you to abstain from fornication. Is that what it says? Right? Is it? Anybody, right? Doesn't the Bible say it's the will of God that you abstain from fornication? So is there any reason that we would have to pray and think, should I be with this person, or trying to make sense? I mean, you're playing with fire. The Bible says that's a sin, amen. The Bible says abstain from it, don't do it. It's the written will of God. There's no, you don't even need to pray about it. The Bible says it, that's it, right? If the Bible's our final authority, which it is supposed to be, especially as independent fundamental Baptists, amen. So there's some things, it's God's will for us to pray without ceasing, amen. It's God's will for us to let our light shine. It's God. There's some things that it's just written in the Word of God. It's God's will for us to do that. There's nothing to argue about, amen, or nothing to even pray about. You know what it says, amen. And so the Bible tells us to be kind to one another, forgiving, amen. So there's no reason for us to have unforgiveness towards somebody when the Bible clearly says it. You don't have to pray, God, should I forgive this person, this is horrible. And the Bible says, be forgiving, amen. And so there's just the things that are in the written will of God, amen, when it comes to us dealing with the things of this world, amen, and that we don't need to really agonize over, amen, because it says what it says, it means what it says. And so pass through the world, but meddle not, amen. We don't let their ideas and their ways affect us, amen. And it's sad, because the and this is where you need spiritual discernment, because you know, we watch television and we just see we're out in this world and we're bombarded with things. I mean, I can't believe now they like got commercials with people with HIV. You're gonna die. You got HIV, and they're out there, they're dancing and smiling and like they're just so gay and happy. It's like you're dying. You're gonna die from this AIDS thing, and they're putting commercials out there like you're having the time of your life. And and they do this stuff, amen, year after year after year, over and over and over, that I've even had Christians say to me, well, how can God be angry with homosexuals when he created them that way? And I'm like, he didn't create them that way. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 1, they made a choice to be that way. But they've been pounding it into everybody's head for years that they're born that way. To the point now even Christians are like, well, they're born that way. It's like, no, they're not, amen? I mean, we got things now going where they're bringing transgenders into the libraries to read books to the kids. You know, when people are like, oh, I'm so progressive, I'm so non-judgmental, I'm bringing my kid. Go ahead, sit on the tranny's lap, Joey. You know, it's like, really? I mean, come on, you know what I mean? There's some things that are wrong, amen? We don't really need to wonder about it, amen? And if you know somebody, I'm not putting them down, pray for them. That's all I can say. My brother Billy, he's dead, but he was a homosexual, you know. I loved him. If he got a flat tire and called me, I would have helped him. You know, I mean, I'm not saying hate people or go burn them at the stake, but you don't condone it, amen. There's some things as far as this world goes, amen, that we know what the Bible says, amen, and we just need to stay away from it, amen. And so we're told to the rebuke is to keep moving and keep growing as a Christian, amen. We're supposed to be making progress, heading northward while we're on our journey to head north, amen. And then as we're in this world, don't meddle with this world to the point of where it affects your relationship with God, amen, where it causes you to disobey God, amen, buy, sell, trade, but don't be influenced by it, amen. The Lord Jesus Christ was in this world. Jesus hung around with people that fought. He was around prostitutes. He was around people that drank. Amen. They accused Jesus of being a wine bibber and a glutton because of the people he was with. Amen. But he wasn't. Amen. He wasn't one. He wasn't tainted by it. So it is possible for us to be in this world, but not of it. Amen. And then the Old Testament goes on and we see a reminder. Amen. God rebukes them. He gives them an admonition. Amen. Tells them to make progress in your walk. Amen. To be moving, be in motion. Amen. Be in this world and don't meddle with. And then he reminds them just how much he's blessed them. Amen. And sometimes that's one of the things we need to do as Christians is remember. Amen. All through the Bible, especially the Old Testament, God would always say, remember. Remember when I did this. Amen. Remember when I did that. Sometimes we have to remember. Amen. The giants that we overcame. Amen. The mountains that we overcame. He goes on in verse 7 and he reminds him. He says, God hath blessed thee. Amen. Verse 7, for the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hands. Amen. And if we had a show of hands, how many Christians in here would say that God blessed the work of their hands, amen, out in the world where we've been successful, where we're better workers than the other people around us, amen, the lost people, and God blesses the work of our hands, amen. We don't have to compromise with the world, amen, in order to be blessed, amen, by God. God's blessings and his favor is better than any that the world can offer, amen. And so he reminds them that God has blessed thee. God's blessed the work of your hands. Verse 7, for the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hands. Look what it says. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. Amen. And the Bible tells us that Jesus was tempted in every way as we are, but yet without sin. Amen. Jesus Christ suffered the biggest miscarriage of justice this world ever saw, amen, getting a death penalty, getting put to death, amen. He saw the joy of this world and he saw the sorrow, amen. So God understands, amen, what we go through, because a lot of times when we have that resentment or we have that anger or whatever it is, really it's towards God because we feel like he hasn't treated us fairly. Or we feel like he's not listening to us or doing things our way, you know. But at the end of the day, God knows what's best, amen. I remember these this old timer one time. He says there's two things you need to know about God. One, there is a God, and two, it ain't you, amen. And that's the thing, amen. And so and so he understands what it's like for us, amen, to be in this world. And I'm not depreciating any of the hardships that people have been through. I mean, people have been through some horrible things, amen. But as a child of God, if we keep our eyes on God, and God somehow, I think it might have been the Millers or pastor or someone said a couple weeks ago, anything God brings you to, he'll bring you through. Amen. And so we have to remember that. Amen. Whatever God brings us to, he will be with us. Amen. And that's the next point is that he says, he knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. Look what he says. These 40 years, the Lord thy God hath been with thee. Amen. And his presence is with us. And that's why it's important as Christians for us to, you know, lay aside those things that it caused us to just keep circling the same spot and we're never growing. Amen. And to lay aside that and to recognize the presence of God and keep that closeness between us and God in our lives. Amen. Don't allow anything to break that fellowship. It's so important for us to try to live our lives. And none of us are ever going to be perfect. No one's ever going to do it 100% right. But you can live your life in a way that where you have God's blessings on you. Amen. Isn't that what we want? We don't want to disappoint him. And we do want to sense his presence that he is with us, as imperfect as we are. Amen. He does love us. Amen. Just like us. Amen. We love our kids, good, bad, or ugly. Amen. We love them. Amen. And the same thing with God when you're his child. Amen. And so it's so important for us to be aware that he's there. Amen. And he lives inside of you. Amen. God is inside of you. It's one thing to feel like God's around me, amen, but it's another thing to know that he dwells in you, amen, through the person of the Holy Ghost, and he's inside you, amen. And so to acknowledge that and be mindful of that, amen. And then look what he says, the last thing he says there in verse 7, he says, thou hast lacked nothing, amen. I mean, their shoes lasted them 40 years, amen. That's crazy. All the money we spend on shoes, amen. Their shoes lasted them 40 years while they were out there in that wilderness. God took care of them, amen. And God watched over them, and God was with them. He never left them, even though he was upset with them, even though he had to kill a few of them for complaining, amen. Even though, you know, they got off track. I mean, remember Aaron. Imagine Aaron. Moses comes to who was it? Joshua says, hey, Moses, something's going on down there. I think there's a battle down at the camp. And Moses is like, that ain't a battle. They're down there partying, them rascals. And remember, he went down. There was the golden calf. And remember what Aaron said? He said, yeah, I threw the people's earrings in the fire, and automatically this calf came out, you know. And it's like, you know, that didn't happen, amen. And in spite of all the failures of the children of Israel, even when they were wandering, amen, and messing up left and right, God never left them, amen. He provided for their basic needs. But God wants to bless us above and beyond, amen. He wants to bless us as much as possible. He wants to bless us with that abundant life, amen. So it behooves us not to stifle that, amen, by not having that desire to grow as Christians, amen. But anyways, I'm going to wrap it up right there. And so anyways, it's been long enough, amen. If you got something you're dealing with between you and God or you and somebody, just straighten it out, amen. That's all it takes. Like the ABC thing, amen. Admit, believe, confess, amen. You just sincerely ask God to forgive you, amen, and say, God, I want to, I need to grow, amen. I want to be more Christ-like. And no matter how old I get, I still can be better, amen. I still could do something else. I still could do a little more, amen, as a Christian, amen. And don't let the world influence the way you think, amen. Let the Bible influence the way you think, amen. And then just remember, amen. Remember how good God's been to you. Remember how much he loved you. The Bible talks about the tender mercies of God, amen. The multitude of his tender mercies, amen, is a multitude of them. And God was mindful of us and sent his son, amen, so that we could have forgiveness, amen, so that we could have eternal life. And so just be aware that God's with you. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, he's living inside of you, amen. He promises to take care of you and watch over you, and he will, amen. But anyways, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do love you and thank you for your word. And let's pray you would help us, God, to apply the things of your word to our hearts, to our lives, and just pray, God, that, Lord, that we'd all always stay on good terms with you, that we'd lay aside those things that could stifle our growth and help us to be mindful of the blessings and not get blinded by our own negativity or lose sight of your goodness, God. By the things of this world. Just pray now, God, asking you to bless all the folks and pray you'd heal those that are sick and just pray you'd dismiss us with your blessings and your love. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.